Romans chapter 7 this morning for our Bible reading. Romans chapter number 7. We'll be reading two places actually this morning. Romans chapter 7, just one verse, Romans 7:14. Then we'll skip down a couple verses to chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. I'll read chapter 7, verses 14 and 24 if you'll read with me. Number 25, if you found it, if you'll please stand with me for the reading of God's Word this morning. Romans chapter 7, starting verse 14, then skipping down verse 24 this morning. Romans chapter 7. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, again, thank you for the reading of God's Word. Lord, I pray that you bless, especially be with the message, again, be with the preacher. Lord, I pray you bless all that goes on today. May it be glorifying and honor to you. Lord, I pray you just keep away any distractions. May, Lord, we open our ears, our hearts to the message. We'll thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen.
Spirit, and we can hear his voice. He's reveals the King of glory, and the mighty name of Jesus will forever be the praise. There will come a day, no more night, no sin, no sorrow, no more hoping for tomorrow,
my child.
There will come a day, no more night, no sin, no sorrow, no more hoping for tomorrow,
oh my child.
There will come a day.
Appreciate that. I want to draw your attention to Romans chapter 7. Now, we're going to be looking at several verses in this passage, but we didn't take the time to read all down through verses 14 through 25. And I want to speak this morning on this subject, the Christian's self-defense. I might have mentioned this message in another message last week or the week before, and I originally preached this in our Christian school chapel on a Tuesday. And I've added some to it, reworked it a little bit, but it's been on my mind. I think it's a good truth that all of us can benefit from. So let me preach this morning on the Christian's self-defense. Let's pray together. Our God and Heavenly Father, we are thankful today for the privilege of having a Bible. Many places in this world, many people do not have the blessed privilege of having a copy of your word. And we have many copies in our houses, in offices, and here in our church. And Lord, we're thankful for it. Your book has power, and your spirit has power. So, Lord, I pray that you'll help me as I preach from the powerful book this morning. I pray that your spirit will control me. I yield myself to you, Holy Spirit. I need you, and we all need you, because without you, we won't learn anything. These are just dead words on paper unless the Holy Spirit come and energizes this service. So, Holy Spirit, would you please come and meet the needs in our heart. And I'll thank you for it in Christ's name and amen. Not too long ago, a good brother in the church who is a brown belt in one of the martial arts. And those of you that are into that type thing, you know that there are different kinds of martial arts. And I forget the kind or the type he's involved in. But he is a brown belt in that particular type of martial arts. And he came and he offered to teach the boys in our school during PE time. Self-defense. And I was excited about it. We checked into some things legally and so forth and got some paperwork drawn up, and Matt helped us with that, and it was a blessing. Matt's been a great help to us many times in our church. And so it's worked out. And the fellows have been involved in learning some methods of self-defense. It's a good class physically for them, and it's a good class to learn protective methods in case they're ever jumped on, in case they ever need to defend themselves or protect themselves, if they're ever attacked. Pastor Craig Foote down in Louisiana was out with his church folk, oh, I don't know, some months ago, back at the end of last year. And they were just out visiting when he got jumped from behind. Guys hiding in the bushes jumped him from behind, knocked him in the head. I think he spent maybe 4 or 5 days in the hospital and recovering from the attack that he suffered while he was out visiting. My son was attacked years ago. The phone rang. It was about 11:20 at night. And the first thing, I said, hello. And he said, Dad, everything is okay. And I thought to myself, well, if everything is okay, then why did you wake me up at 11:20 to tell me that everything is okay? Everything was okay until you called. What happened? He said, well, he was delivering pizza. He was washing windows by day. Maybe I told you this. And he was selling pizzas at night. And some guys called in an address where nobody was home and hid in the bushes. And he walked up, rang the bell a couple times. Nobody answered, so he turned around. Man, when he did, pow, they popped him good and knocked him down, kicked him, took his money belt, had $15 in it because that's all they would let you carry. And but he got roughed up a little bit. Didn't hurt him too bad. Didn't have to go to the hospital like Brother Foote did. But anyway, that happens. And so it's not a bad thing to learn some methods of self-protection and self-defense. It's the first time we've ever had anything like that in the school. I'm excited for the fellows. I think they enjoy it. I think it's something good for them to learn. My self-defense, I don't know how much I can kick, but I can wrap my finger around the grip and I can pull the trigger, amen? And that works real good. And so, but anyway, And you might learn that type too, all right? But I know some people today, in this day and age, that frosts some people to think about a person with a gun, but I can't help it. If it happens, it happens, all right? I'm not going to kowtow to this politically correct generation. And so, anyway. But as I think about this, because we had a lot of preparation to do for it, and as I was thinking about self-defense, I realized that all of us need help in that area. Now, the young men are learning self-defense to protect them from others. And that's good, necessary. I'm glad they can. All of us need self-defense to protect us from us. Self-defense. The damage inflicted on many lives in today's society is the result of self. There are many Christians, and that's who I'm preaching to mainly this morning. I'll say a word in case you're lost and without Christ. I'll say a word to you here in just a moment or two. But there are many Christians doing physical and mental and emotional and spiritual harm to themselves. And hear me now, this is the crux of the message this morning. It has nothing to do with the devil. Now, we like to blame the devil. It has nothing to do with the devil. It has nothing to do with the world. It has everything to do with a lack of self-defense. Self-defense. Now, this is a great passage of Scripture to help us understand this concept on self-defense and why we need it. Paul writes to the Christians in the church at Rome, and he describes for them his battle, the danger involving himself. And I want to point out three things that Paul brings to light here in this passage, what we need to know about our need of self-defense. Number one, let me say this today, I need protection from me. I need protection from me. Now look at verse 14. Look at what Paul said here. First verse that Brother Bragg read for us. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. Do you see that? Now this is the Apostle Paul talking and writing under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. This is Paul speaking. In fact, this whole section down through verse 24 is Paul testifying how carnal he was. And I didn't have this in my notes, but let me just reiterate here, especially for those of us who are familiar with the Bible. Again, this is Paul, the most effective Christian in the New Testament outside of Jesus Christ, was the Apostle Paul. He went on 3 or 4 missionary journeys. He started more churches than you and I can count. He had souls saved from Caesar's palace to the prison house. I mean, he was the most instrumental Christian, as far as you and I are concerned, in the New Testament day, in the New Testament time period. And this is Paul. Now listen, this is Paul talking about how carnal and sinful he is. This whole passage, Paul speaks about it. Now remember, carnal is something a Christian is as opposed to spiritual. Carnality is opposed to spirituality. Now, an unsaved person is what we call natural. They're in a natural condition. That is, by nature. We are unsaved. We are apart from God. And we are in need of something that self cannot do for us. Self can do nothing for us when it comes to salvation. People, even the good things that we ourselves can do are considered in the sight of God as filthy rags if those good things are done with the attempt to gain heaven. Isn't that sad, friend? I mean, look, you know what? What hurts my heart is to realize sometimes how sincere and how serious some people take the works of religion that they do, all with the idea, the mentality, that I am working to get to heaven. When God's book tells us that all the good things we can do to try to get ourselves to heaven in His sight are as filthy rags. How would you like to live your life trying to work your way to heaven? I have neighbors that are like this. I mean good people. Neighbors that go to church every morning. Not once a week. Every morning. Every morning they go. And they never miss. And they're working, and they're trying, and they're working hard, and they are working sincerely and trying sincerely. How would you like to live a lifetime like that and then die only to find out that it was completely impossible for you to work your way to heaven? That's sad, isn't it? Completely impossible. But that is the honest truth. That's what the Bible teaches us. Salvation only comes to a person when they cease. Now listen to this. Salvation only comes to a person when they cease trying and start trusting. Start trusting in what somebody else did for their salvation. And that somebody else is Jesus. Only Jesus. And Jesus only. His death, burial, and resurrection is all that one can trust in to be saved. And if you are one who has been trying to do good works for heaven, my friend, you need to stop trying and start trusting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I like the song that we sing once in a while here in church. This is what the songwriter wrote. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Friend, when you and I stand before God someday and we're allowed entrance into heaven, it won't be because of anything you or I did. It will be because of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross of Calvary, all right? But, now that's if you're unsaved. If you're unsaved, you're in a natural condition. You're a natural man. You're a natural woman. By nature, you're apart from God. I'm not preaching down to you or ugly to you. I was in that condition. All those little babies back there in the nursery are born into this world in that condition. I'm not singling you out and saying you're a bad person. I'm saying by nature, you are born into this world apart from God. By nature, you are not going to heaven. By nature, you have a sin nature and so forth. And in any attempt to try to work your way to heaven will not be recognized. You need to trust Christ and get it all settled, all right? Now, but listen, once we get saved, we have to continue to deal with ourself. Ourself cannot work our way to heaven. And once we get saved, we have to continue to work and fight against ourself. If not, we will end up living a carnal Christian life. Now, the word carnal has several definitions. None of them are good. The word carnal means fleshly. It means sensuous. It means opposed to spiritual. It means lecherous. That's a word that we don't use in our vocabulary much anymore, but Webster's did, lecherous. It means lustful. It means given to sensual indulgences, worldly-minded, grossness of mind. You say, Pastor, how can a Christian be those things? A Christian can be those things because of self. Look, friend, once we get saved, the old sinful self is not abolished. Some people have that idea. Some people have the idea that, man, once I get saved, I won't have any more problem with myself when it comes to temptation. I won't have any more problem with myself when it comes to sin. Once I get saved, all of that is behind me. Nothing can be further from the truth. Once you and I get saved, that old sinful self is still there. It is not abolished. There are some denominations, some church groups who teach that it's possible for you and me, once we get saved, to have a life of self-abolishment, to have the self completely done away with and live a Spirit-filled life 24/7. Yes, I suppose it's possible, but it will never happen this side of you and me seeing Jesus Christ. Because only until we see Jesus will that self be abolished completely. So that's not going to happen, friend. We're going to have to deal with ourselves. And if I don't get some self-defense, and if you don't get some self-defense, we will live under the dominion of self and be carnal. Now, I'm there for these boys to learn protection from others in class. But I'm going to tell you who I need protection from. You know who I need protection from? I need protection from me. Now, I don't want to insult you this morning, but you know who you need protection from? You need protection from you. You need protection from you. It's called self-defense. Paul needed it from himself. In fact, we won't do it, but if you read down, beginning with verse 14, and you read down through verse 24, that's 11 verses. If you read those 11 verses and you counted, now watch this, the personal pronouns that Paul uses, I, me, and my. He uses personal pronouns 36 times. I, me, my. I, me, my. And you know what he's talking about? He's talking about his old carnal self. His carnal self. And he uses those personal pronouns 36 times. You know why? Because Paul needed protection from himself. And I need protection from myself. And you need protection from yourself. It's called the Christian's self-defense. Modern psychologists and modern psychiatrists don't ever come at your problem from this perspective. When is the last time you think a psychologist or a psychiatrist had a client and they went and spilled all their issues out in front of the psychologist and the psychologist looked at them and said, listen, your problem is you and you need self-defense. That doesn't happen. That does not happen. You know what? When you list all your issues in front of a psychologist or a psychiatrist, they're going to tell you that you need that your problem is this person and that person and your relatives and your ancestors and your great-great-grandfather, you know, and you're this and you're that and this and so forth and so on. When the honest truth of the matter is, friend, the problem is not anybody on the outside. The problem's right in here. You need self-defense. Self-defense. I need to understand this is what I am. I am carnal. I need to understand that. You need to understand that this is who you are. You are carnal. Hey, Christian, let me tell you something. Don't be guilty of thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to think. If Paul said, I am carnal, if Paul said that, then I think it would be very foolish and presumptuous for me and you to decide that we were not carnal. I am carnal. That's what I am. And that's what you are. I need protection from myself. And you need protection from yourself. I'm glad for boys to learn how to be protected from others. But the problem you and I are having is not on the outside. It's like the fellow that fell asleep and had the big old burly mustache. And one of his friends or neighbors or something pulled a trick on him. And he was fast asleep on the couch. And the friend went in with some Limburger cheese and rubbed the Limburger cheese on his thick mustache while he was asleep. And then slipped out without ever saying anything. And finally the fellow woke up and he had some errands to run. And he went down to the bank and he thought to himself, man, this place stinks. The bank stinks. Well, what happened in here? And then he went down to the hardware store. And he was in there shopping around for a little while. And he said, man, this place stinks. This place really stinks in here. I can't believe this. Then he went down to the lumber yard. And after spending a little time down at the lumber yard and picking some lumber out, he said, man, this place smells just like the bank and the hardware store. He said, in fact, the whole world stinks. And the problem was it stunk. He was the one that stunk, amen. The Limburger cheese was on his mustache. And friend, look, we can blame our problems on all kind of folks, but the biggest problem Terry Angel faces every day of his life is Terry Angel. And the biggest problem you face every day of your life is you. I need protection from me. And you need protection from you. Now, let me say number two this morning. Not only do we need protection from ourselves, but number two, myself will not leave me alone. I wish he would. But he will not leave me alone. Look at verse number 21. Look what Paul said. He says, then I find then a law. Actually, let's go back to verse number 18 and look at what Paul said. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Then he explains what he wrote there. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, and I watch what it says here, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Myself will not leave me alone. Everywhere I go, myself is with me. I have never been able to wake up in the morning and park myself aside somewhere. Never. So everywhere I go, myself is with me. Now, wait a minute, friend. Paul is not talking about the devil. He's not talking about the world. He is talking about himself. When he says, evil is present with me, he's not referring to the sinful world around him. When he says, evil is present with me, he's not talking about the devil is following him around. When he says, evil is present with me, he's talking about himself. His old wicked self. That's what he's talking. It's always with me. Paul said, myself will not leave me alone. And that's the reason he needs self-defense, is because his self will not leave him alone. I don't know if you like it or not. I like the fact that Paul is very honest, because I can identify with what he says. He says in verse number 18, look at it again. Actually, look at verse number, that's the 18 is the battle. This verse 18 is the battle. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Now watch this. For to will is present with me. Paul says, man, I want to do good. I really would like to do good. I don't wake up in the morning with the intention of being bad. I want to do good, but how to do it is beyond me. Look at what he says. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. And he says, I want to do good, but I can't do it. It just seems like I fail. And the reason is found in verse number 21. Verse number 19. For the good that I would, I do what? All these I's. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. And that, look down again at verse number 21. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Everywhere I go, Paul said, evil's with me. And it's not the world, it's not the devil, it's me. And I need help, I need self-defense, because myself will not leave me alone. Paul said so many times, I find myself in situations where the choice is good or bad. And I want to do good. I'm not licking my chops to do bad. I want to do good, but evil is there with me. In fact, it's in me, and I don't end up doing the good I want to do. And I say, Paul, you know what? I'm right there with you. And I bet I could get a witness this morning from you that it's the same way in your life. The same way in your life, man. It's a constant fight. Since I got saved, the Holy Spirit of God moved in me. And now I have all these desires to do good and do right. But man, you know what's right there with me? All these desires to be good and do right, desires I never had before I got saved. But there's always that pull, that tugging, that law that I can't get beyond. It's evil with me. You say, yes, Pastor, I agree with you. I hate the devil and I hate the temptation of the world. And what I'm talking about right now has nothing to do with the devil and has nothing to do with the world. It has everything to do with me and you. It's ourself. It's our old, fleshly, sinful nature. It won't leave us alone. What is the battle over in your life? Is the battle with music? You know, when you're driving down the road and, you didn't wake up with the intention of listening to the wrong kind of music. In fact, you've got the CD in there, or maybe you're trying to find a Christian radio station and you run across that old rock and roll station that used to be your daily fare. Oh, yeah. I know, I lived it. I know exactly what it is. And man, you pass by that and they're playing a song that, man, you remember, and you're trying to get to that Christian radio station and the old self starts talking to you. Man, did you hear that? Yeah, but I'm not going to listen to that. Oh, come on, you need to listen to that. No, I don't want to listen to that. Yes, you want to listen to that. You know you want to listen to that. No, I don't want to listen to that. Yes, you do want to listen to that. No, it's back. Are you there? Sure you're there. It's part of life. It's called the battle. It's called the fight. It's called evil being present with me. Myself won't leave me alone. What is it? Is it literature? Is it Bible reading? I'm going to wake up this morning, I'm going to intend to read my Bible. Oop, there's the sports page. Or oop, there's the magazine. Or there's the publication. And, well, it's time to read the Bible. Let me look at this first. No, I want to read my Bible. No, you don't. You want to look at this first. I need to read my Bible. No, look at this first. You can get the Bible reading in later. Look at this first. Take just a few minutes. And it's, Temper? Ugly words? That I have to be so careful with that, man. I've had a fight with that. I can have, my words can have barbs on them. Anybody else like that? No? You're the only one. Me and Tigger, I'm the only one. My words can have barbs. Man, it is a fight for me sometimes to just, do you men ever have trouble getting your wife on her cell phone? Do you ever have trouble getting your wife on her cell phone? I sometimes I think life, I, throw that thing away and be done with it. And we, so this is several weeks ago, and it was a Friday, and she said, "All right, I'm going to town, and I've got my cell phone with me, and if you need anything, call me." And even said it twice. "I got the cell phone. If you need anything, call me." And I had, really, I didn't think I'd need anything. But then I did. "So, well, you told me twice to call you." "I did." Ring, 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 ring. "Hi." "The reason I didn't answer the phone is because I'm still looking for my phone." "Ha, ha, ha, that's cute. I'm glad to hear that. Okay, so, you know." So I'm thinking maybe she's talking. So I called her again. And no answer. So I called three times. Four times, five times, six times, seven times. "You ever pick up your phone, ladies, and there's 13 missed calls? Probably 12 of them are from your husband. Because you told us you had your phone with you." I'm not sure how that one was all resolved. She probably remembers. You could ask her and she'll tell you how it was resolved, because women never forget how that was resolved. And then it wasn't just a few days later, and it happened again. And this time I was the one in the car, and I was trying to reach her back at home, and I thought to myself, "I'm going to call again. When I get her, I'm going to say this." And the Holy Spirit said, "You shouldn't say that." And I said, "No, I shouldn't say that." But self said, "But you want to say it." "Yeah, I'd like to say it." "But you shouldn't say it. You shouldn't say it." "Well, I don't, yeah, but I want to say it." "Yeah, do you really want it? You don't want to say it?" "No, I don't want to say it." "No, I don't want to say it." "Well, go ahead and say it." "No, I can't say it." You ever been there? And I'm driving down the road thinking, you know what, when I get her, and she says, "I'm sorry, Mr. Costa." "Honey, it's okay, don't worry about it." "That's what I'm going to say." "You don't say that." "No, I really don't want to say that. I don't want to say that. I am not exaggerating for you. I'm not entertaining you. I'm letting you in to the inside of, I'm exposing what's in here. Because this is going on for like 5 minutes in the car. This struggle, it's a war. It's just not funny to me. Because, you know, I'm a little bit hot. And I know before, in times when I've been a little bit hot, I've said things, and I really regret that. So I don't want to do that again, but man, myself is saying, myself won't leave me alone. What will not leave me alone? I'm not going to say that. But you really want to. Yeah, I really want to. Go ahead. Won't leave me alone. And when I called and got on the phone, I was nice. Until the end. And then I said it. Then I put the phone down in my car. There it is again. Now when I get home, we got some patching up to do. Is anybody, what is that sound? Somebody's hearing aid or something is really ringing this morning. I don't know whose it is, but if you can, it's entertaining, really. It really. I've heard it three or four times now, so help us if you can. Oh, mercy. And there I sit. And having to look again at the woman that I love dearly and tell her, you know, "I shouldn't have said that. I don't know." What is it with you? I would love to blame that on my grandfather. He died in 1963. And my other grandfather died in 1969 when I was 10. Or however, 68 when I was 11. I can't blame that on my granddad. I'd love to blame it on Brother Bragg and the school, you know, or the offering was down, or somebody at church. Oh, my God, I got Limburger cheese under my nose. Problem's right here. And the problem is myself won't leave me alone. Will not leave. I'm talking didn't intend for it to get this way, but almost bears witness with my spirit that there probably are husbands and wives sitting here this morning who've gone through something in the last 7 days, or maybe you went through something this morning that's left you at odds with each other, and the whole thing, you want to blame it on one of the children, or blame it on the lack of finances, or blame it on pressure from work, when the honest truth of the matter is, friend, it's none of those. It's ourselves will not leave us alone. There is no vocation, occupation, where that just goes away. Well, if I just become a missionary, I won't bother with that. If I become a preacher, I won't bother with that. That's not true, friend. I've tried to lay out for you in very clear, sincere terms that the self will not leave us alone. I need protection. I need defense from myself, because myself will not leave. Have you ever been in a situation where the mosquitoes were just crazy? They came and they came and they came and they came and they came, and you swatted and you smacked and you swatted, and they buzzed around your ears, and you just were going crazy trying to get the mosquitoes away. Maybe you're outside trying to barbecue or get something done, and they just came and they just bombarded and bombarded and bombarded, and finally you holler out, "Goodness gracious, man, deliver me!" And you went in the house and got some insect repellent. And you sprayed that insect repellent all over your body, and you got a little bit of deliverance from the mosquitoes, from the insect repellent. Well, you know what, friend? That's exactly what the Apostle Paul says in this passage. He said, "I want to do good, but myself is there saying, 'No, you don't.' And I'm going to try to do good. 'No, you're not.'" And Paul said, "Man, I am carnal. I need self-defense. And myself is with me always. It won't leave me alone. Evil is with me all the time." And then he cries out in verse number 24. Look at what he says. This is a saved man talking. He says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Soul winner, preacher, church planter, missionary. "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And that's what Paul is hollering out here. Deliver me. And wait a minute. Deliver me from who? Satan? No, no, no. Deliver me from the world? No. Deliver me from me. Unfortunately, there's no self-repellent in an aerosol can. You can't run to the store and pick up off the shelf self-repellent. But there is a defense. There is a self-defense. And that's how Paul ends this chapter and spends all of chapter 8, which we don't have time to go into. When he comes down to verse 25, he says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, self-defense is in Jesus Christ. That's where our defense is. I thank God. Paul just was aggravated and cried out, "Deliver me. Who's going to deliver me from me?" And then he answers his own question by saying, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." I need to understand that when this battle between good and evil is raging, when the Holy Spirit is saying, "Don't say that," and self is saying, "Yes, say that," when the Holy Spirit says, "Don't listen to that," and then the self is saying, "Yes, listen to that," when the Holy Spirit says, "Read this," and the self says, "No, you don't want to read that," when this battle is going on back and forth, I must run to my self-defense. And my self-defense is not in me. My self-defense is in Jesus Christ, who lives in me in the person of His Spirit. That's where my self-defense is. You know what I have to really stop and do? I'm not a bracelet wearer. Some guys wear those bracelets. WWJD, what would Jesus do? The honest truth of the matter is, friend, when that battle starts raging like that in my life and in your life, that's exactly what we have to think. We have to run. We have to ask ourselves, what would Christ do? What would Christ say? How would Christ act? Holy Spirit, help me. Jesus, please come to my defense. Protect me from me. Protect me from myself, because evil is present with me. My self-defense against other people may be a kick, or it may be a punch, or it may be a deflective move that some of these boys can learn to protect themselves against folks that would attack them. But friend, my self-defense against myself is not in a kick or a punch. My self-defense is in Jesus Christ and Him alone. You see, it took Jesus Christ to save me from my sinful self. And He is the only one who can continue to protect me from my sinful self after I get saved. And that's what all of chapter 8 is about. Chapter 8 teaches us that the Spirit of life that is in us in the person of Christ Jesus our Lord is the one that will give us victory over our self. And by the way, let me say this. Just like self won't leave us alone, thank God Jesus has promised never to leave us alone. Never to leave us alone. Never. Never. His Spirit is in us. His Spirit is with us. Always, everywhere. When myself jumps on me, Jesus is there to jump on myself. It all boils down to who I'm going to give control to. Am I going to give control to myself? Or am I going to give control to the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what it all boils down to. I hate to reuse this illustration and use it to death, but it just fits so perfectly. There is a reason why when I drop this knife or anything else that you would drop, it is pulled to the ground. There's a reason for that. There's a reason why that knife doesn't float. And you know what it's called, right? It's called the law of gravity. Because the law of gravity pulls everything to the center of the earth. Now, let me ask you a question. A few weeks ago, when I got on an airplane on Friday to fly to Arlington, Texas, and then on Saturday afternoon got on the plane in Dallas to fly back to Chicago, and then on Monday got on the plane to fly to Little Rock, Arkansas, and on Wednesday morning got on the plane to fly back to Bourbonnais, to Chicago, how was I able to do that? If gravity pulls everything to the center of the earth, how was I able to get on that plane, shoot down that runway, and that plane get off the ground and soar? And I don't know, I don't have all the knowledge about that that some of these men who deal with flight and so forth have. But I do know that there's a couple of laws involved called the law of thermodynamics and the law of aerodynamics. And that plane gets going down that runway, and the law of thermodynamics and the law of aerodynamics kicks in at a certain point, and that plane is able to lift off that runway and soar. When that plane lifts its wheels off that runway, friend, does the law of gravity cease to exist? No. No. If you bail out of that plane, you'll find out real quick. But I'm able to soar riding in that airplane because the law of thermodynamics and the law of aerodynamics is more powerful than the law of gravity, and that plane lifts up and flies me to my destination. The law of gravity is a picture of me, self. It's a picture of you, self. It pulls us down. That airplane and the law of thermodynamics and aerodynamics is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, His Spirit that lives in us. And friend, if you and I will just get on board with the Spirit of God, we can soar in the Christian life and live in victory over the law of sin and self. My defense is not in me. My defense is in Him. You know what? I'm not 100%. I just confess to you a fight that I have. But there have been some times when in a tense situation with the Spirit of God saying, don't say that, and the self saying, I'll say it. No, I don't want to say it. Sure you do. No, I don't want to. I don't want to. Really. Spirit of God, help me. Help me. I need protection from me. Myself won't leave me alone. How about yours? Will yourself leave you alone? But self-defense is not in Terry. Self-defense is in Jesus Christ. That's the only way, friend. He's the only way for salvation, and He's the only way for victory after you get saved. And some people have the mistaken idea that I'm going to let Jesus save me, and then I'm going to become a good Christian. You're going to fail. You got to get on board with the Spirit of God. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for your attention this morning. Sometimes you wonder how much a message is needed by distractions that are in a service. There were several distractions this morning. I don't quite understand that. Distractions we haven't had for a while. Cell phones ringing and things going off. Not quite sure why. Maybe it's because this message is needed today. Before we pray, I wonder who's here this morning would say, Pastor, I need self-defense. Not the kind the boys are taking in school. But I need the kind of self-defense that you talked about this morning. I got an area or two in my life where I'm struggling, and I need some self-defense. Would you raise your hand this morning all over the room? God bless you. Amen. 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 Put your hands down. Well, we know what the answer is, friend. The answer is in Jesus Christ. Just like it was for salvation. I can't work my way to salvation. And I can't work my way to spirituality. I've got to get on board with the Spirit of God. So this week, when you're caught in one of those yes-no situations, quit arguing with yourself and yield to the Holy Spirit. Is there somebody else that said, Pastor, I should have raised my hand just then? I didn't. I should have. Include me when you close in prayer in a moment. Anybody else? Slip your hand up and write back down. Anybody else? Now let me ask another question. How many folks today would say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. I have this battle, but I know that I'm saved. I'm not natural anymore. I'm on my way to heaven. I know that. Would you raise your hand, please, wherever you may be sitting? That's a wonderful sight. God bless you. Is there one or more here that would say, I could not raise my hand, Pastor Angel. I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that I'm on my way to heaven when I die. Pray for me. Somebody like that this morning, you slip your hand up and write back down. If I see it, I'll recognize it and put it right back down. Front to back, side to side. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that this morning? All right. Is anybody here would say, Pastor, I'm saved, but I've not been baptized since I've been saved. I haven't followed the Lord in believer's baptism yet. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. If you know this morning, you're ready to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, we're ready. It'd be a great thing to do to step out and obey Christ. And you can come. In fact, you can make your way down here right now as we close out the invitation. Just slip out and come if you're ready this morning to obey the Lord in believer's baptism. If not, then we'll get you set up for another time. If you know this morning that you're saved and baptized and you know this is the place where God wants you to join and be a member, you've talked to one of us about it, then you come and do that this morning. I'm going to pray now. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. And Lord, I pray that you'll please, through all the distractions of the service this morning, even my voice having a little bit of trouble this morning, I pray, God, that you'll get the truth across to our hearts. May the Holy Spirit transmit the truth to us about our need for self-defense. Thank you for Paul's honesty. And thank you for putting this portion of Scripture in. Help us, Lord Jesus, please, in this matter. I pray for any that need to be saved. I pray for these that need to be baptized. And Lord, they step out and be obedient to you. And I'll thank you for it. It'd be a good day for us to obey you, Lord, and help in these matters. I pray in Jesus' name.